now call to order the March 8, 2011 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. I have reviewed the minutes of our February 8, 2011 meeting, and I have also reviewed the minutes of our February 8, 2011 Special Magistrate Proceeding with regard to the review of the appeal of the bike week determination, and have approved both of them. Will those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying at this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn?
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Okay, the first matter on our agenda is a lien review. John Cicero, 121 Mason Park Drive. Anyone here for the respondent? Going once, going twice, gone. Mr. Cicero wrote a lot of letters. I would have expected to see him. Okay, so this was a lien review application?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, not seeing a respondent, then it's denied. Okay, next order of business is under our hearing of cases, is case number 1400 Beach Street Acquisitions, LLC.
Charles Bryant, Redevelopment Project Manager for the City of Daytona Beach.
All right. Yes. And this is one of our properties on Beach Street?
It's not actually owned by the city. We were in the process of looking at demolition of the property. We sent it out for to do environmental on the property. We ran into some problems with the funding. During the time of the process, the owner of the property has come forward. They're looking at the process of rezoning the property, tearing down some of the buildings, and doing some additional work on the property. They are in the process of going through zoning at this time, and we're requesting, I've talked with Code, and we're requesting a six-month extension to give them opportunity to go through the process of rezoning and doing what they need to do to correct the issues with the property.
Okay, the owners of the property are looking to...
They're going through the rezoning process to rezone the property, so they can do some other things. I think the deal that they had on the table before fell through, so they're looking at rezoning the property to possibly do an assisted living facility and possibly demolish some of the property that we were looking at originally as the city and demolishing them.
Are we talking the current owners of the property or some future owners?
No, they're current owners.
Yes.
Current owners.
Okay, I'm lost. I thought the city was in the process of looking at this for some purposes for the city, something having to do perhaps with Daytona State College.
Yes.
And the city was in the process of doing due diligence, and once that was all said and done, something was going to move forward. Now, yeah. With all due respect, it sounds to me like I'm hearing a giant step sideways and backwards.
Yes. That
I don't like it.
That deal with the Daytona State.
And somebody's asking for 6 months more before we do any corrective action there whatsoever to try to figure out what we're going to do with it?
You want to speak?
Sure.
Somebody, Mr. Rob.
Absolutely. Dave, for the record, Rob Merrill, Cobb Cole. I'm handling the zoning matter. This is, when you say rezoning, this is a property that was zoned to plan development some years ago for condominiums, and they never happened, as you know. The question of the status of the buildings that are on site certainly relates to the construction of the project on site that we're now proposing, in the sense that the funding will be available hopefully through that process. We are talking with the redevelopment staff in the context of the rezoning about how that could be done, either with redevelopment funds potentially combined with some funding that we're obligated to pay the city as part of the original PUD. Specifically, this is one of the PUDs that went through the process in one of the redevelopment areas that things were happening in. And some of the commissioners during that process felt that and I may be giving you too much information, but I think this is relevant, felt that the division of the city into different redevelopment areas where some had things happening and others didn't was unfair. So there was a pot of money to come from this project that was to move to a different redevelopment area and be spent there. That money, as part of the phased development that's being proposed now, will partially become available. And we are hoping that that might contribute towards doing what I think is aesthetic, fixing some aesthetic concerns, not life safety issues at this moment, as I understand the building's secured, but it's ugly. And so we are hoping that this process will result in what you want, I think, which is it either being torn down or being repainted and whatever needs to be done to fix it up. But I think much more likely is that the property be, the buildings will be demolished. As you're aware, there are some environmental issues as well. And there is as I had a conversation with Mr. McKittrick earlier this morning, there are some budgetary reasons why those were not completed by the city. But up until now, we've had a continuing conversation with the city about them acquiring part of this property, regardless of what's going on the opposite side, that we're trying to actually do some construction here hopefully soon. So it's a big piece of property, and the southerly part is the part that the city's been looking at to acquire. The northerly part is where we have a proposal for an ALF facility on the back side of it. So there are kind of a lot of different pieces to this, and we're hoping that...
facility on Beach Street?
No, on the back. This property's deep as well. It goes back into the residential area, and so... we're looking for something that would be a viable transition between the more intense frontage on Beach Street and the residences to the west, and that's what we've chosen. So that's what's going through the process now.
Well, I'm nothing but an administrator here. So what say the city to all this?
We're going to go with what redevelopment wants. It's their area. Are you agree? Okay, so we're going to offer 6 months. If you would like to do that.
No, I don't like to do it. I don't like the sound of any of it, but that's not my call. There are people way above my pay grade that make those calls. Assisted living facility on Beach Street. Sounds like a vibrant core of our community. Whatever. Okay, so in any event, I think I was pretty accurate when I said you're stepping to the side and back a couple steps, but that's all right. I didn't mean you any disrespect. I guess I just had my hopes set on something happening to this piece of property sometime soon, but whatever. And I certainly don't mean to disparage the property owner and its ambitions. I'm sure they're going to do something nice eventually. All right. Refresh my memory again. What is it that's been requested here? A six-month moratorium on this piece of property?
Yeah. We currently still do not have a compliance date. So, we've been continuing that determination with these progress reports. So, I don't know if you are looking to additionally continue for progress reports or if we still need a compliance date.
We should be able to
ask it. I think the progress report's an oxymoron when it comes to describing this. So, all right, what is it we're looking for? 6 months to do what? What happens in 6 months?
We should be able to tell you that we've got the zoning matter finished in 6 months, we hope. We're in the staff review process now, hoping to be scheduled for planning board sometime relatively soon. So if we could have 6 months for progress report, hopefully we're back here telling you that we're making progress and that the property's been rezoned and that we've made this, again, with a PUD, it's a negotiated zoning. So ultimately this matter will be part of that negotiation, for better or for worse, from your perspective, David. And hopefully we'll have something worked out you'll like by 6 months from now.
Don't let my whining as a resident lead into this process. Okay, we will continue this matter until our September 13, 2011 meeting for another progress report. And we are doing that, as I understand it, per stipulation, because I want to be real clear on this. We're doing this per stipulation of the city and the property owner. Very good. Okay, good luck to y'all.
Thanks.
Case number two, Halifax Wrecking Company Incorporated.
Possibly.
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Okay, are we talking north or south here today?
South.
Nope.
Yes.
Oh, south.
We don't agree on anything.
I guess I don't feel so bad about being confused. Okay.
It's a southerly portion.
All right.
Mr. Clank has made application for a use permit with the city. My understanding is the city has requested a survey showing the outline of the entire southerly property. Mr. Clank has ordered that, so there is a pending application. He needed it, additional information. I suspect in talking with Mr. Clank that we're also going to have to bring these parcels together. There's probably different owners on some of the parcels. I anticipate that's going to have to be dealt with also. I spoke with the investigator, and he's indicated that he's satisfied with the progress on the property. The issues that have been outstanding, with the exception of the use permit, have been resolved, as I understand.
That's correct. They're working on it now. The survey is supposed to be checking it today, and he's working with Colleen Miles. These are all last week's photos, and that's about the only thing left that's recycled, which is being removed. Those dirt piles, all that's been cleared out. All the trailers, all the outside storage, just pretty much in new fencing. They pulled the permits for new fence, put up no new fencing. And as for the property, that's pretty much in compliance. We're just waiting on the permits.
Mr. Kelge, I'll remind you, that's the that southern portion is the portion that was there abutting the residence neighborhood. And looks like they've cleaned a lot up.
The before and after shots. Real progress here in this case, is that right?
Yes, and this is Loomis. Loomis has all been cleared up.
What progress looked like. Yep. Hope springs eternal. All right, so what is it y'all want?
Your Honor, if we could get 2 months on this, because we have the north property coming up in 2 months, and it'll save me a trip next month.
2 months for what? What happens in 2 months?
We should be in compliance.
Okay. What say the city?
I agree.
Okay. Amy, I'll let you figure out.
Okay.
That much I could figure out.
The cutoff date is May 4th.
That's fine.
For that compliance date.
Okay.
If we're amending.
All right, then, with regard to this case, I will go ahead and amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until May 4, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Is that all we need?
Yes, sir.
Very good. All right,
great
good luck
day.
To you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case number three, John Cicero. Let's save the city.
Good morning. This is the same property as the lien review.
Yes, sir.
Ultimately, the property remains in non-compliance. The city is recommending $200 per day.
Outside storage and broken windows, that's the violation?
Correct. The outside storage has been removed. However, the windows are still broken. They're boarded up, but that doesn't change the fact that they are broken. The property owner, the last time we spoke, was... He claimed that the property was going into foreclosure. There was a list pendants filed. It was his hope that the property would no longer be in his name at this point. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way for him. So
right,
he
is this a single-family residence?
It's a single-family home, correct. It's been used as a rental property, not owner-occupied.
Non-owner-occupied. Non-owner-occupied. Isn't it vacant?
It's currently vacant.
And is it supposed to be secured to city standards?
It is secured to city standards now. That's why we had the lien review, because there was some disagreement about when and how it was secured.
So if we have a single-family residence that comes before me, mm-hmm. and the owner's the respondent, and the property's empty. It's been boarded. We're not going to allow them to utilize it, lease it, or what have you, till it comes into compliance. Is that owner-occupied or is that non-owner-occupied? First off, it doesn't sound like it's occupied at all.
Yeah, we.
But if anything, it sounds like it'd be owner-occupied.
Yeah.
And the reason I ask is, of course, it impacts our fine cap under our current amnesty program, or whatever you call this, maximum fine program. Now, I know historically there have been tenants in there.
Yeah. Mr. McKell, what we've done in terms of the way we evaluate those is the status of the property, or our last known status of the property as the violation arose. The last known status of the property is it was rental property. It has been rental property, and to our knowledge, that's what it is. So from that perspective, it's non-owner-occupied property, even though understanding that it's actually vacant, but the status that it was operating under when it became non-compliant was non-owner-occupied property, residential property. And so that should have the $15,000 maximum, if I remember right.
This property was to be in compliance by what, March 2? I'm sorry.
Yes.
March 2. All right. I know the respondent's not here, but in deference to him anyway, what was his gripe with regard to the inspections? I'm only looking for a Reader's Digest explanation because he ain't here.
The last
being kind and even asking.
The last claim was that he wasn't properly notified when I was doing my re-inspections on the property. The last couple of times, actually the last time I was there, he was there. He had two other individuals with him. I brought a second inspector with me as well. It was in compliance at the time. That's the only
gripe. Getting a sense of some sort of tension out there on the street.
The neighborhood is definitely vocal about the conditions of the property.
All right. Well, I'm talking about our respondent primarily.
I guess the respondent feels that he hasn't been treated fairly because of all the attention on the property.
Okay. Is the property secured to city standards now?
Yes.
Notwithstanding the broken windows?
Correct.
Okay. And the city's looking for a $200 fine.
Yes,
$200 a day fine.
Correct.
Am I supposed to ask about what the assessed value of this property is before I go any further?
No, it really.
Only the multifamily or commercial that would be assessed value is the fine capping. It is
pending. That's
him
right
there? Mr. Cicero? Come on up.
State your name, please.
John Cicero.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear the testimony about to provide the truth, the truth, and nothing
but
the truth?
I do.
Okay, is the property in compliance?
It's secured.
Okay. Securing it was a temporary function just mm-hmm. to keep vandals and what have you from getting into it mm-hmm. while you brought the property into compliance. We don't really just secure buildings and leave them indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
Compliance is coming into correcting whatever it was you were cited for to begin with, and as I understand it, that was outside storage and broken glass.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, is the property in compliance?
The windows are not fixed.
Okay. When are the windows going to be fixed?
I don't know. Nobody wants to cooperate. None of the window companies will work with the lender and the insurance company under the format that they want it to be.
The format that who wants it to be?
The lender.
Okay. I don't care about the lender. You're the property owner. You're the person that I have a relationship with, per se, And so the question is, regardless of what some lender may do or what some insurance company may do, what are you going to do?
Well, the property's in foreclosure.
I suspect you're working your way to town and you're not going to be doing anything because you can't afford to do it and the property's going to be foreclosed anyway.
Correct.
All right, well, let's just cut to the chase and say it. And, all right.
I had never have been foreclosed on, wasn't aware of the length of how long it takes, and it's been four and a half months. I thought they would have taken possession by now.
All right. The inspector has suggested or proposed a fine in the amount of $200 per day for your failure to come into compliance. Speaking to the matter of the severity of the amount of the fine he suggested, what, if anything, do you want to say?
Well, I can't afford it.
Okay. Anything else?
More
importantly, do you think the amount of $200 per day is commensurate with the nature of the violation and your failure to come into compliance?
No.
Do you think it should be something less due to some sort of extenuating circumstances?
Yeah, considerably.
Okay, well, I'm kind of spoon-feeding you here.
Yeah.
Give me something to work with.
Well, I don't have experience in this, so I don't know
all
what
right.
I'm supposed to
so
be doing or
why
saying.
Why aren't you in compliance?
Because I can't afford the $1,000+ to get the windows fixed.
And you're hoping your lender and or insurance company will come to the rescue?
No, I wanted them to take the possession of the property. Right now, I'm cooperating every way possible. You know.
So if the lender or the insurance company don't take possession of the property and do this, it's odds are it's not going to get done.
Under the situation I'm in right now, correct.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right, I hear what you're asking for. With all due respect, I consider it excessive. I hear your interpretation of this, and with all due respect, I disagree. I think until it is leased out or tenant-occupied, it is owner-occupied, notwithstanding the history of the property. Because in my humble opinion, nothing keeps a property owner from booting out a tenant and resuming ownership at any time. And as it stands right now, there absolutely is no tenant there. And all I can do is assume that I'm supposed to be dealing with the circumstances as I'm presented with them.
Can I just ask one question regarding that?
You can ask a question. You make further argument. You do whatever you want. I don't shut anybody up. I let them say whatever they want to say.
Thank you. Well, does Mr. Cicero have a residence of his own where he resides?
Yes.
Is that his homestead?
I guess, yes. It's
okay,
under foreclosure also.
Good questions, to be honest with you. Okay. All right.
What is the relevance of that, if I can ask?
Sure. If you're living in one house, it means you have no intentions or no designs on living in this one.
Correct.
That being the case, it's not owner-occupied, and its only purpose of ownership, as I assume, is an investment property.
Correct.
Which puts it in the commercial context, which puts it in a different category altogether, which raises the cap of potential fines should this go unattended to indefinitely from $10,000 to $15,000. Okay.
And just for further argument about the man, not to beat this horse or anything, I think as I hear what Mr. Cicero is responding to you, Mr. McKelliger, and he probably is the status of his property is that either the bank is going to let to move forward on it and take it, or it's going to be left vacant and abandoned. There's nothing that guarantees that the bank will ultimately move forward. They may elect instead to just pursue them on the note and leave the property, seeing it as having zero value. And in that sense, we're left to have to try and find a way to move forward with foreclosure and resolve the status of the property. So that's part of understanding of need to go forward and find it and ultimately take
the city's got to do something. Can't sit by and assume anything. All right, I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent the sum of $100 per day commencing March 2, 2011, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or until the maximum amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000. Okay, it would behoove you, well, if you have any interest in this property, if you don't have any interest in the property, then I'm wasting my time, but it would behoove you to bring the property into compliance as quickly as you can and then apply and ask for a reconsideration of the lien or lien reduction. And in that process, we will take into consideration what, if any, effort has occurred since the imposition of the fine to bring the property into compliance as quickly as possible. So, with that, good luck to you. Have a good day. Case number 4, Elliot Meadows. All right, no one, not seeing anyone on behalf of the respondent, what say the city?
I'd like to impose a fine. We really want to get this thing tore down. And I'd like to impose a fine after the May cutoff, or before the May cutoff, and give him that amount of time to go ahead and tear it down. I'm trying to give him a push in the right direction. And then if he doesn't do it, $200 a day fine.
Okay. Elliot Meadows owns 220 North Halifax, which obviously sustained a little bit of fire damage.
Nine-unit apartment building.
And it's been sitting there for a while.
Yep.
How long has it been sitting there? Since September of 2010?
Well, there was a court issue with that.
The fire was just Christmas.
He was in the process of redoing the building, of rehabbing it when it burned. So,
that's interesting. Okay, I'm dying of curiosity. What are the court issues?
He won in court.
Okay.
Well,
non-conforming use issues.
Yeah.
We actually discussed that before you, Mr. McKelliger, where we he had a non-conforming use issue and they ultimately appealed and the court ruled in their favor as to the termination of his interpretation of the city's interpretation, if I remember right.
He could keep the units.
And that he was able to keep the units, and so he was working on the necessary
rehabilitation.
Okay. All right, in any event.
Now it's a total loss.
Now it's a total loss. And they were supposed to be in compliance by March 2. And what is it you're asking for?
I'm asking to give him until May cutoff to see if we can move him once he knows there's a $200 a day fine on it to try to get him to knock it down.
So even though I could fine him right now,
yeah,
you're suggesting give him another 60 days as a last chance for him to start doing something, but failing that, fine
right.
Go into effect.
Yeah, if the fine goes into effect today, then he might not do anything and just let it
off.
Yeah.
And the fine you're proposing is?
$200 a day.
Okay.
Nine-unit, non-owner occupied.
And so this is a multi-family residential commercial, less than $500,000?
Yes.
All right. Then we will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until May 4, 2011 to come into compliance. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $200 per day will go into effect and continue thereafter until the property is in compliance or the maximum amount of the fine has reached $20,000. Okay?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Case number 5, Fred Allen. I can't wait to get to some of these people that are sitting out there. All right, no rental license. What say the city?
The city would like to amend to the next cutoff. He just failed his first rental inspection on 217, and he's got another one scheduled for next week.
And the original violation is no rental license?
Yes, sir.
All right, and so I'm amending to allow him additional time to get the rental license?
Yes.
Or be returned here for what, a fine or the $250 administrative?
The $250 administrative fee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you want me to give it until when now?
The April cutoff.
Okay. All right, based on our inspector's report, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until April 6, 2011 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of the $250 administrative fee. Very good. Thank you. Case number 6, Ladoro Properties Incorporated. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
I went by this morning. This property is not secure. We have more broken windows on the property. And since the last hearing, I've had no contact with the property owner.
And what do you propose?
I would set a compliance date for the April cutoff. Well,
we have a compliance date. Well, okay. Yeah, you need a compliance date.
You're suggesting I amend our current order to allow the respondent until the next cutoff. And in failing that, a fine go into effect?
I'd like to back up just a little bit. If we were going to decide a compliance date on 5/10, I would make that the compliance date of 5/10.
All right, well, 5/10 is a meeting date. 5/4 is the cutoff date.
Okay. So it would be 5/4.
Okay.
For compliance date.
All right. Are you just looking to amend the compliance date, or are you looking for the imposition of a fine at that time?
But it's my understanding that we would have been discussing a compliance date on 5/10 meeting, at the 5/10 meeting.
The current order does not have a compliance date, but it called for a meeting to determine a compliance date.
It was brought back today to, if it wasn't secure, then it was up for consideration of a fine if it was not secure.
And it is not.
Okay, was the property ever secured?
I believe today was the decision whether or not the property was secured. It is not.
Okay. I'm sorry. All right. It looks like our last order told them the property had to be secured by March 2 or be fined. Was the property secured?
No, it is not.
Is the city looking for a fine?
A minimal fine of $50 a day.
All right. With regard to the respondents, failure to secure the property to city standards by March 2, as required by the pending order of noncompliance, I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent pay the sum of $50 per day commencing March 2, 2011, and continuing each day thereafter until such time as the property is secured to city standards. Okay, now it's my understanding it comes back May 10 to determine a compliance date. Are we leaving that in place, or are we doing something different?
We can leave that in place.
Okay. Y'all want to huddle?
Stand as is.
Okay. Is this property occupied right now?
Currently, no.
Okay. All right. Well, then all the more reason for our requirement that it be secured to city standards. So we have a fine in place for failure to secure, and we're leaving the rest of it alone because we already have a hearing set for May 10 to determine a compliance.
Mm-hmm. Just a slight reminder, in case you don't recall, this is one where the mother came and said she was awaiting the son, who was incarcerated, to come back and take over the home and so forth. And so that was something to do with the compliance time period. And so that's where we are. Did not announce a match on that board securing fine. I don't know if you want to announce one now, or we could
did not announce
that.
What now?
You did not announce a maximum on the fine
right.
For security.
I assume this is owner-occupied?
Non-owner-occupied.
All right. Let me
it's 15.
Let me be sure to clarify our previous order. The $50 per day will continue until the property is brought into compliance,
yeah, we're good on
where the maximum amount of $15,000 in fines is reached. Okay. All right. Then I guess we wait till May and finish the rest of it.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. Case number 7, the Bank of New York Mellon, formerly known as the Bank of New York, as trustee with certificate holders, alternative loan, whatever, and Ali Jareen Jafruti. Anyone here for the respondents?
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir, if you would please state your name and be sworn.
My name is Ali Darren Jafruti. Yes, I do.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine. So that being the case, let me hear first from our inspector. What is the status of compliance?
As of this morning, there's been no change on the property.
No change in the property since when?
My last inspection was on 3-2 prior to that. Prior to that was 2-7.
So there's been no work done on the property?
That's correct.
Okay.
We also have the tenant here willing to speak to the conditions of the property if need be.
All right. And what does the city propose in the way of a fine?
The city is asking for $200 per. And I know you're going to ask me why it's so high.
Nope. I've got photographs here that pretty much explain that.
Okay.
And all right. Madam Tenant, give us just a minute. Let's cut to the chase here. What's up, Mr. Jafruti?
I'm sorry for the situation. I'm kind of in a bad position. When I got notification of the hearing and so forth, more or less in the middle of a divorce, and my wife got an injunction giving her possession of the home. I never had any previous problems as far as getting the mail and so forth, and she was withholding mail. I got a letter here from my attorney kind of explaining the situation. So it's been kind of chaotic involving my kids and so forth. I was basically consumed a large portion during the month of December, January, and February, and almost on a constant basis with this matter. It was involving, there were some issues, severe issues involving my kids and my wife wanting to leave the state and so forth. But we have taken some corrective action. We were trying to take some corrective action when I could sporadically take care of the situation, where there were several attempts to go into the property and make repairs. We were kind of blocked by the tenants. We'd call up and so forth, make arrangements. I don't have my full file. That's one of the problems, okay, where I can't show you documentation and so forth where we did that. We did do a notice of intention to enter the property yesterday, and basically pretty much resolved almost every single issue. Besides the heat, what I did do at one point with the tenant is the tenant has not paid rent for several months now, okay? And when the cold weather was there, I told him to take the money and apply it, you know, because you could use baseboard heaters. And, I've tried everything in the world to resolve this from the tenant's perspective, okay? And there was many attempts. This particular, I believe that's your husband, there was many attempts where we contacted the tenant and so forth to try to go in there. The other side of the property is, you know, Section 8 approved, so that the property was in very good condition and so forth. I mean, what you're seeing there, that water heater is not there. I don't know when that picture was taken, or it just does not look like that. I have one of my maintenance guys with me, and he could tell you that too. Right now, we're basically just left with. I had an electrician go over on Friday. Okay, we could not gain access to this unit once again. But he did look at the other unit, and there was no problems. If you look at it, there was hot water. The hot water heater, when we went down, was turned down to 97 degrees, which wouldn't, you know, give it sufficient. It's not really sufficient. It needs to be up to about 120-something. The appliances were all functional. There's now smoke detectors in the bedrooms, and they were previously existing in the hallways. The screens have all been installed. There was an electrical issue as far as just excessive plugs, I guess, when John went in there, where maybe the tenant plugged up too much, okay? Like I said, I have the units are almost identical. So I did have a licensed electrician, Jack Miller, go out there on Friday. Peeling paint, you know, we found whatever peeling paint we could, and repaired it. I don't think John probably went out there yesterday, but you know, I tried to make an attempt once I found out, you know, what was going on and so forth, and throughout this, to make attempts. But I mean, I've been basically, I'm not going to lie to you, my life's been havoc. I have not been able to get, you know, to my records and so forth. My wife was selectively giving me what mail she thought was fit. In other words, to do anything that could mess me up.
Okay, well, we're all here now. Step aside for a moment. Let's hear from our tenant.
Sandra Watkins.
Watkins?
Yes, ma'am.
You saw me swear the testimony you have to provide, that you're going to be the truth?
I do.
Talk to me about the condition of the property.
He has not made attempts. He made one attempt. He called myself and my husband on a Friday and said he'd be there, I'm not sure which date, for an electrician. Jerry, who's about to come up here, said he'd be there at 1 or 1:30. Couldn't remember. Then he changed and called the next day and said it'll be 2:30. Me and my husband both work. Okay? He did leave a note on my door, which is what he was going to show you, saying that he was going to be at the house to make some minor repairs. He came in yesterday. He fixed some chipping in the paint. There is smoke detectors. However, that's it. There's screens. I'm sorry. There are screens. There's still no heat, which is the main reason. Me and my children had to live there with no heat. I don't understand.
Okay, well, all right. How long have you been without heat?
Since I moved in.
How
we
long
have to turn our.
That?
November 7th or 6th. Can't remember.
Okay.
There is no hot water in the bathroom. In the kitchen. We have to turn on our water in the bathroom with pliers to take showers. He thinks we're out to get him. I'm just shaking. I'm really upset.
All right, well, let me help you out here. No hot water, yes or no?
No.
No hot water. Inoperable appliances, yes or no?
I'm not sure which Stenson had him on that one for.
Inoperable appliances. Are all our refrigerators and stoves
working? That is working, yes, sir.
Okay. But you're telling me you got plumbing fixtures that either aren't there or don't work? Your shower?
Oh, yes, sir.
Pliers? Okay. No smoke detectors. We now have smoke detectors?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I can cross that one off. No window screens. Do we have our screens?
He did correct that, yes.
You already talked about no heating. Electrical system hazards. Does that mean something to you?
My understanding was the outlets, like there's chips, and you can actually see the wiring.
So you need plates covering those outlets?
I'm not sure if that's
or
what he had them for.
Or something like that.
The plastic outlet itself.
Okay, you have kids living there?
Yes.
How old are your kids?
9 and 6, sorry.
Okay. Peeling paint. Peeling paint been taken care of or not?
Yes.
And no occupational license. You got an occupational license yet?
I went to Colleen to discuss it, so yeah, I am working on it.
Working on it. Okay.
I went last week, like I said.
Is there anything different or new that I need to talk about here? Mr. Giuffrudi's telling me he's having communication problems. We've got a tenant here who is acknowledging a few things have been done, but there's a lot more to go. Anything else I need to talk about before I send these people out?
First, all the work needs to be done by a licensed contractor and permitted on
okay.
the property. Unfortunately, there's a pattern with this particular property owner and a history on this particular property and the other properties that he owns within the city. This is generally where we end up on a property.
I guess if I can.
So you want me to throw the book at him for prior bad acts?
Well, no, I don't want to say that. Something different than that, Mr. McKelzer. I think the current status, if I'm understanding Inspector Wright, is that he has two open cases that have never been resolved to running fines on separate properties. Three fines or three properties?
Yes.
Okay. So just recognizing that the inspector believes that he's given him all the leeway and all understanding he can give him, but watching the history of how he's resolved in the past and what he's done up to this point, I believe it's a reasonable request that's to go ahead and ask for him to be fined.
They're calling you an habitual offender, Mr. Giuffrudi.
I understand what they're saying, but I've always been unresponsive. I mean, there's been more violations than what's just been brought to your attention on maybe three different properties, but I've always been trying to be as responsive as possible. I just got into a bad situation here. I mean,
okay, hang on one second. You already told me about that. I haven't heard from this gentleman
yet. I also have an occupational license case.
Okay. All right. Now, You've heard what's left to be done. Are you going to get it done? Are you not going to get it done? Or are you going to BS all of us into thinking you're going to get it done, but not really get it done?
No, I never. I mean, I'm under oath, so I would not tell you it's not going to get done. I mean,
okay, then the question is it going to get done?
Without a doubt.
All right, when?
As quickly as possible.
No, not good enough. I need numbers and days.
Well, you give me within 30 days. I mean, I believe I can do it a lot less than that, but I'm just saying.
Okay,
I mean,
I'm trying to define what needs to be done here, and before you go back out there to divorce land,
mm-hmm.
you tell me you don't get to communicate with people. I want to leave here with a clear laundry list of what needs to be done, when it's going to be done, and I'm going to hold you to it because although they want me to fine you now, I'm going to throw a little teaser out there and give you an opportunity to fix this laundry list just because that's what this lady's most interested in. Just a second. And then failing that, a final vote.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do you want to say?
I'll be leaving the premises in 2 weeks, and I'd rather if preferred that they does not make any repairs until the 2 weeks. My issue isn't with Mr. Gaffrodi. It's with his maintenance man.
So you're going to be there 2 more weeks?
2 weeks and I'm gone.
You don't want it fixed in the next 2 weeks? You don't want to see him
I don't
around?
Like, I don't, I'm sorry, I don't trust his worker. I really don't know Darren. I really don't have a problem with Darren. It's his worker.
Okay, well, that's an interesting twist.
Well, you know, one of the problems has been, you know, they honestly haven't paid rent in several months, and I've tried to accommodate them in every form of fashion, and I'm not saying that's any no excuse for me not getting done, you know, but that's what I was told they were leaving, so therefore I know there has been some, you know, miscommunication or some tension between, you know, the tenants and me and so forth. I was told repetitively that they would be leaving, and I've been very, you know, accommodating to that, thinking it would be easier to get in there and fix that. And that, but you know,
well,
we've made
gone in 2 weeks.
Many attempts. There should be no problem with whatsoever with me getting it done. I mean,
she's gone in 2 weeks. That means you're planning on being out March 22nd.
Yes, I play for my place and everything. I'm just waiting for him to finish his repairs, so I don't go through the same situation with my new landlord. So he said 2 more weeks to finish his repairs. But I have not ever once told him that I would give him rent money or whatever. I feel in my heart for my family suffering. He didn't deserve a penny. I have kids. They've been sick, and I wish I could work on my pictures, but I just came from work. For my family to deal with that.
All right.
Well, most of my discussions have been with her husband.
Okay. Hang on one second. Let's get some wisdom from the city here before I try to figure out what to do.
Okay.
All right. First, well, let me back up. Were we of a mind to give Mr. Gaffrodi additional time to come into compliance? How much time, in your opinion, would it take to do what, as you recall, is still left to be done? So I figured that'd be a conservative estimate since he claims some of it already is done.
Mr. McAlja, to present a solution, I would like to suggest a fine certain.
A fine certain, okay.
A fine certain for complete compliance on that particular.
Okay, well, that's the part B part of my question. Part A is how much time should it take to come into compliance?
Until the next cutoff.
So you're suggesting by May 4th, he ought to be, I'm sorry, by April 6th,
correct.
He ought to be able to do this.
Yes.
Now, is he going to be able to do all this by April 6th if he's not got access to the property until the 27th? Just out of curiosity.
You should be, yeah.
You think so? All right. Our inspector says that even if this lady holds you up till the 22nd, you still ought to be able to get what's left to be done between March 22nd or 23rd, I suppose, assuming she's not holding over to April 6th. What do you say to that?
Yes. No.
Why not?
Many
odds. This gentleman's sworn. Let's hear what he has to say.
Jerry King Gurley.
Jerry King Gurley. Okay, March 23 to April 6 is 14 days.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
I mean, if we're just talking, let's stop. I mean, if we're just talking about, I don't know what John's electrical issues are. She's saying there's outlets open and so forth, and we went in through there yesterday and checked it. I didn't see that. No, I mean.
But I don't think 14 days is enough time to, you have to set up appointments with an electrician and a contractor. 15 days isn't enough.
Mr. Kells, if I may, while he's waiting for the tenant to vacate, a licensed contractor can apply and obtain all of these required permits. And then, when the tenant is actually vacated, they should have everything in place and be able to move in and complete the work while it's vacant.
How certain are you that you're going to be out of there by March 22nd?
I haven't received my purse.
Pardon?
I haven't received my purse. Everything's ready. I'm just making an appointment. He's just doing like little wall fixtures. I'm not sure what exactly. I'm supposed to go check it out today. He said 2 weeks. Told me this morning 2 weeks because I told him I need to go. And we're packing right now. So.
When was the last time you saw the property for yourself?
Last week.
So that instead of telling me a bunch of hearsay from some guy that I don't know from Adam.
Last week.
That you can give me your opinion as to whether you're really going to be out on March 22nd.
I will be out.
Okay. And what did you want to propose in the way of a fine?
A fine is certain for the next cut-off in the amount of $100 a day.
All right, here's what we're going to do. And let's make sure our order is nice and clear, so I'm going to go slow. Somebody, when I say that, that's for me, not you. All right, I'm going to allow the respondent, or amend our current order of noncompliance, to allow the respondent to come in to compliance by May 4, 2011. After this lady vacates the property on March 22nd, that property is not to be rented, utilized, or otherwise occupied until it's in compliance. If it is rented, utilized, or otherwise occupied before it comes into compliance, you'll be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine. If the property is not in compliance on May 4, 2011, then a fine in the amount of $100 per day will go into effect and will continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the $15,000 maximum fine amount has been reached.
It is multi-tenant. It's a good thing.
Go ahead.
Okay, are we all clear? Dave, good news is you got till May 4th. B, you're not going to bother her, or you're not going to start your work until March 23rd.
Correct.
This is predicated on you telling me you're going to be out of there by March
22nd. Yes, sir.
If that changes, this all goes haywire. Okay. Once she leaves, a new tenant will not be moved in until the property is in compliance. If you're in compliance by May 4, 2011, this is all a bad dream. If you're not in compliance by May 4, 2011, there's no need for you to come back here until you are in compliance because a fine will automatically go into effect and will continue until you are in compliance or until the maximum amount's reached. Okay, we all clear on what we're doing?
Yes, sir.
Just one thing for clarification, Mr. McCallister, so there's no confusion. The property is a duplex, and I guess there's separate addresses. And everything that we're addressing is concerning just the unit where she was residing.
What's the unit number? 503. All right, specifically, with regard to my order is directed to unit 503. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Should the property become rented or occupied or utilized?
That's going to be a finable event.
Okay.
That property is rented, occupied, or otherwise utilized. Before I see an affidavit of compliance in this file, I'm going to find it. Okay?
Mr. Dupree, do you have an alternate address?
Not yet. We're working on that. I've been here and there. Yeah, that'd probably be a great idea.
Okay, why don't you, there you go. Yes, Okay. Very good. I think we've covered it. All right. Good luck to you. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
And as the waiter to the cable guy says, let's get her going. Case number 8 is in compliance. Case number 9, Samuel J. Merrill Jr. Sam, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Please swear, Mr. Merrill. All right, we're here for the imposition of a fine. Let's hear from our inspector. What's the status of compliance?
The last time I checked, it was in non-compliance. However, I got a phone call from Mr. Merrill yesterday. He indicated that it would be completed by today. So that being the case, I'm looking to amend to the next cutoff, at which time I expect it to be in compliance.
And this is the administrative fee for...
No, I'm sorry. That was a typo on my part. This is soffit indication. Just a regular...
All right. So you want to amend to our next cutoff to let Mr. Merrill come into compliance?
Yes.
Let's say Mr. Merrill.
That would be great. Thank you.
Great. All right. We will go ahead and amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent to come into compliance by April 6, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay? Thank you. Good luck, sir.
Thanks, Maggie.
Yeah, just call.
Case number 10, Jules Xavier Junker. Anyone for the respondent? Let's say the city.
It's compliance 3711.
Case number 11, George Joseph Nyland Revocable Living Trust. Let's say the city.
I would like to amend it to the next cutoff. They had one inspection failed and they're making corrections.
Based on our inspector's report, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until April 6, 2000 to come into compliance or be returned for what? Consideration of the imposition of $250 administrative fee?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. Case number 12, Joseph P. and Barbara Daly. No occupational license. What say the city?
Noncompliance. Next cutoff, please.
All right. Note that the respondent is absent. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and allow the respondent until April 6, 2011 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of the $250 administrative fee for failure to obtain occupational license. Case number 13, Zelda D. Cooks. What say the city?
Also noncompliance, so we're looking for next cutoff.
Okay. Respondent not being present, based upon our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent to commit compliance by April 6, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Daniel Lucas. What say the city?
Compliance 3711.
Case number 15, Nicole C. Duhart.
Compliance 3711.
Case number 16, James and Patinum George.
Noncompliance. No contact. Next cutoff.
Okay, respondent having not appeared. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Allow the respondent to come into compliance by April 6, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of the administrative fee for failure to obtain occupational license. Case number 17, Lisa A. Imperto. Yes, ma'am. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Mm-hmm.
Right, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should be required to commit compliance?
The
May cut off. That would be May 4, 2011?
Yes, sir.
Are inspectors of the opinion that you ought to be able to take care of the corrective work and have the property in compliance by May 4, 2011? What do you say?
90% chance. I have some tenant issues with the fencing for the dogs that they had there. I didn't do that. I've already started working on it, but I have another case that I'm also working on, so I need to have the other one in compliance. See that fencing? I didn't put that up. The tenants did, and they have dogs. So that's the only issue that I might have. The rest of it, that's all. That is not. That's, yeah. That's also been taken care of already. That overhang is gone and all that. So I've already started.
Is this property currently occupied, or do you still have these tenants in there?
They're still in there. They're not bad tenants. They put up, they have two dogs, and they put up that little makeshift gate, you know, for the dogs outside. And it's in the backyard. And I don't want to pay to have put fencing up, and I don't think they have the money to do it, so I know we're going to butt heads there. So that's the only issue. But all the other stuff I'm taking care of. That's out.
So you're thinking it may take more time because you're going to have to work around your tenants.
I just want to be honest. I'm trying. You know, I know most of the other stuff is going to be done, but that might be an issue. So.
Okay. What's the status of the effort so far, Mr. Inspector?
We have a good effort.
All right. Then I'm going to allow the respondent until June 8, 2011 to come into compliance. Failing that, be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right, so hopefully that will allow you enough time to work around your tenants, get it all into compliance, and make sure you stay in touch with this guy.
I do.
Because he'll be your best friend if all of a sudden something comes haywire and problems arise. All right?
Yep, we talk.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 18, SC Gay Properties, LLC.
That's non-compliance. Next cut off, no contact.
All right. Respondent having failed to appear, based upon the inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by April 6, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the imposition of the administrative fee for failure to obtain occupational license. Case number 19, I have as being in compliance. Case number 20, Steve V.
That's going to be compliance, 3-8. However, we would like to ask for a will find on this property.
Okay, do we know where Mr. Elmer is?
I'm right here.
Right here.
I'm Steve Elmer.
Absolutely. This is Charlie. This is my tenant.
You going to be testifying, sir?
He might. Yeah,
do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
No, I do not agree.
Why is that?
There were cars that my tenant owns, and they were parked on the property. There's a garage at the back of the house. As you can see, it's a parking area, and John keeps, you know, going after that particular property with these cars. Now we removed the cars, and again, they were Charlie's son. One was his son, and two were his. And it's just an ongoing thing. I made it clear to my tenant to not even park any cars now over there, because I don't want to be fined $1,000 a day or whatever to have cars parking there. So hopefully the kids and, you know, but I'm worried about if John goes by there one time, you're going to start charging me $1,000 a day and sees a car parked in which is a driveway. I mean, there's a gate, and that was a garage at one time.
Well, quite frankly, looking at the photographs, the cars under the tarps are the ones that pique my curiosity. So,
well, they're licensed.
You're not going to see me get too bent out of shape if I see a car in the driveway. I mean,
right. Assume. Well, the whole thing is again, I'm not deterring from John, but the cars were licensed, and he's got in the violation. They were junk cars. They are not junk cars. They were running cars. They do have license plates on them, and one was an antique plate, and I don't know what else I can do, but that's why I brought my tenant, to make sure that he knows, but at this point, not to park any cars, at, you know, anywhere on the property.
Well, that's a little overkill. Let's back up and see what our inspector has to say.
Mr. Bellinger, this is not the first case of this particular violation on this property. You just hadn't made it to this point of the hearing.
Okay.
I have dealt with the property owner in the past who has brought it into compliance in the past. The purpose for the will fine is to ensure the property owner and the city that this violation doesn't keep dying down and flaring back up.
Is this the first time the case has made it this far?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. And what's educated? What's happening? What's the violation?
There's just too many cars on that particular piece of property.
Too many cars. Too many cars as in too many people with cars coming and hanging out? Or too many cars being left there for extended periods of time that appear to be inoperable?
These cars in the rear, they appear to be inoperable. They are covered. Some of them are covered. So I don't have a way of knowing whether or not they're operable.
Okay. And if one of them is an antique car, I could see putting a tarp over it to keep anything from happening to it. And it may have a current plate, but you wouldn't know that just looking at it through a fence. And I understand that. So
this particular picture right here, you've got three cars that are covered and one car with for sale sign.
Okay. As far as this property goes, how many cars is he allowed to have on that property?
He's got a one-car garage. I could say two vehicles back-to-back in a line in front of that gate and one in the front.
Okay, because he's clearly parking on the grass. Well,
on at least two.
Parking on the yard on the far right there.
Correct.
The one next to the garage definitely doesn't appear to be driveway pavement.
Correct.
Or driveway pavement area. The car to the left of that, I assume, is legit.
That's the one with the for sale sign.
And you're saying if you had another car parked in front of that, that would be legit.
Well, there is another car behind it, behind that one,
okay.
Right next to the green lawnmower.
So you got two cars parked there, and assuming they're tagged, they're legit.
Correct.
All right. So quite frankly, this isn't all that complicated to me. You got two cars that are parked on something other than, I guess, what you would call a dedicated driveway.
Okay.
That's a no-no.
Okay. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Because we
move one of those as long as they're tagged onto the two that you're allowed in the driveway.
Yeah, can I?
Go ahead.
Sure. Can I say, okay, the antique car is mine's.
Yep.
You know, I got the insurance and I got a tag too. Now, if he had come in and asked my tenant, she would have let him in and let him saw the car. You know, because the car covered up. I had spent a lot of money on that car. You know, and the limbs fall and hit the car.
He's so your tenant?
Yeah.
He's got another tenant?
Yeah.
No.
My sister.
Yeah, you're allowed two cars.
Okay, all right, that's what I want.
One of those is a currently tagged antique car.
Yeah.
That's one of your two cars. Okay. Am I missing something, or is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
And one more thing. Every time that I met John at the house, we've looked at I've usually met him at the property, and then we've gone and I've shown him that they have current tags on the property. On the cars, on the vehicles themselves. And so not at one time have we ever seen a car on the property. At this particular time when they took the picture, I don't know what happened, why Charlie had four cars there, but most of the time there was only two cars there. And in the past, they were always licensed. So, I just don't want to come back and that's why I brought Charlie, so we can remedy this thing. So he knows what I will be in violation of in the future if there's a problem with Jeff.
Well, I think
and I don't have a problem
a little
with Jeff.
Bit confusing is I think the nature ought to be that the violation ought to be parking on an unimproved surface.
Okay.
And I don't mean to disparage the property, but you don't have any yard there per se. So typically, where those two cars are parked, presumably you would have grass underneath of them, and there wouldn't be any difficulty understanding where things ought to be. But to make it simple, you got a driveway, and we're going to presume you got two cars in your driveway.
Just one clarification, Mr. McKellar. The two-car limit, that's not necessarily the circumstances. Whatever he can park on the dedicated driveway, it appears on the two, but they may get third out.
Well, no, that's all I want to hear. You know, in Charlie, that's why I brought.
Okay.
So that we are all clear.
Yeah.
so that John doesn't have to come out
well,
there.
But the attorney's being generous to you, and he's not allowing us to be overly restrictive in our interpretation of the ordinances. And what he's saying is, if you're parking in the driveway, that's fine.
Okay.
Two cars on a motorcycle, whatever it may be. If you're in something akin to a driveway, you're allowed that.
Well, he's got to get through to his kids to not park their cars.
You know, that's where you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Because you're getting ready to look at a will fine here. Mm. And the purpose of the will fine is to start educating people.
Okay.
Now, let me back up. Mm. Can I consider a will fine? Very good.
Yes.
All right. Okay, based on the testimony I've heard, I'm going to find that the respondent was in noncompliance. And so that we can be clear, my determination of the noncompliance is parking vehicles on what otherwise would be considered unimproved surfaces.
But we were in compliance.
No, you're in compliance now.
Well,
we weren't in compliance with that photo sample.
Well, okay.
That's photographic evidence right there that you weren't in compliance.
Okay.
All right? Now, further finding that the respondent has now come into compliance. But I'm also ordering that for every future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Now, let me give you the speech I give to all these people on these will fines. All right. First off, don't go shooting your tenant the first time you sign it for this. It's a progressive thing, but my point is, we don't want cars anywhere other than on what is supposed to be the driveway. Okay. And if cars are found there and it's spotted, the respondent, this gentleman here, is going to be dragged back in here to answer. And he's going to say, my tenant did it. And I'm going to say, that's not going to help you, because the tenant was here. Mm. We told him how it was going to work. And you now are going to tell your kids, your neighbors, your football buddies, whoever comes over to that house, you're going to say, if you can't park it on the driveway, you got to park it somewhere else. Okay, or else John's going to come around, because he doesn't like watching the Super Bowl. He's going to tattoo me for violating this will fine thing, and then my landlord's going to be all over me. All right. Are we all clear
well,
what has to happen?
I want to say he's been an excellent tenant for 16 years, never missed a payment,
all right.
And we've kept the house up because of it, and the rest of the homes in that area have run down like crazy. And you talk about no yards. And the neighbors next door, and they'll have five cars parked.
Drag them all in here.
Well, John's doing that one by one. So,
I'll tell the city to drag them all in.
I'm here now, so I want to have my
say. And I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck to you.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay. Case number 21, James G. Frost.
I'm actually not James Frost. I'm the tenant there at the house right now, but there's...
Let's say your name would be soon.
Okay. Matthew Cecil. I do.
All right. Mr. Cecil, you are the tenant.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Frost is your landlord?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Attorney?
Is this capacity here to tell us what's wrong, or is it capacity to speak for the landlord?
I assume that it was the...
Well, let me ask you this. Did you talk to the landlord?
Yeah, there is a communication barrier there.
Okay, so he's here as a witness. I want to make sure we get some clarification first.
Okay.
So he's here as a witness, and I guess that's what we'll recognize as a witness and consider no one present on behalf of the respondent.
Very good. Mr. Cecil, while you're here, let's make some use out of you.
Okay.
It's been alleged that there was outside storage at this location. Do you agree or disagree with that allegation?
Yeah. I mean, if we're referring to that, a little bit of stuff right there to the under the carport as outside storage, I would assume yes.
Okay. What say the city?
That's
the outside storage.
That's the outside storage, correct.
All right. So
Given Mr. Cecil's testimony and our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how long should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
2 minutes.
All right. Okay, Mr. Cecil, our inspector is suggesting that this violation ought to be cured, or ought to be able to be cured, by April 6, 2011. What do you think?
Yeah,
I
came into awareness on Sunday, and yesterday I went outside and picked it all up. It was just I was leaving my tools out there because I drive an old Volkswagen, and I pull my car up and have problems and work on it, and I just kind of left everything out.
Okay.
But now I'm, you know, definitely going to keep it, you know, all organized and together.
Very good. All right, based on our inspector's report, I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by April 6, 2011. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right. Sounds to me like you're the one that's going to take care of business here.
Yeah. I was
you
a week late.
Give this gentleman's card, because once all the storage is cleared out, it ain't over until the paperwork's done, and you don't want to find the land just because the paperwork hadn't been done.
Okay.
So, once all the storage is removed, get a card from him, call him, he'll come out, he'll look at it, he'll go, yep, it's all taken care of. That's
I have a quick question. Did you say you were a tenant?
Yes, tenant.
Not as a relative or
even a tenant? No, just a tenant. Yeah, the only
in
thing
other words,
was
the person we're going to hear from about this is you rather than Mr. Frost.
Well, I would say at this moment, yes, like I said, to reiterate on this communication barrier, I haven't been late on my rent the whole time I've been there, and now this month I'm a week late, and I tried to call him to say that I'm a week late, and I just sent my money out, and I still have gotten no response, even on that, you know,
well,
with me trying to...
this situation?
I came home, and these were on my coffee table. I have another kid that lives there with me, and I don't know what... So I just found out and figured I needed to come here. And I came here last year I had a car that was unregistered. So I came here on behalf of him then, and it was fine. And we got that taken care of. Now,
well, I just wanted to emphasize that it's not just a matter of cleaning it up. This gentleman has to go out and inspect it and verify that it's done.
Mm-hmm. One quick question. Now, everything is put away and organized to the side. There's one shelf out there where I keep my oils and stuff like that for my car. There's a weight bench right there. Now that's still there. Is that allowed to be there?
The weight bench is fine.
The weight bench is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the grill is fine. Those ramps and everything is back cleared, and there's no tools out there visible. Everything's nice and clean. Raked it all out and whatnot.
Cool.
Okay. All right. So that's it then.
You know how to get a hold of them?
Well, there was a card being spoken about.
Case number 22, Jewel Lovett Testamentary Trust.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
LaFrieda Small. Small. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. What is your affiliation with the respondent? The respondent in this instance is something called the Jewel Lovett Testamentary Trust.
Yes, sir. She's deceased.
Okay.
And we have the property was in her will for her grandkids that live in St. Pete.
Okay. And this trust was all part of that will?
Yes, sir.
All right. And are you the... what's your capacity? Why do you happen to be the person?
Because I'm the person that I'm the trustee of the estate.
Right. Well, very good.
Okay.
That answers that.
All right.
Do you agree these violations existed or occurred?
Yes, sir.
All right. Then I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time do you think it should take to bring the property into compliance?
Be nice.
At least 2 months.
Thank you.
To bring the property into compliance. This case has been going on for quite a while. There was an individual who claimed to be a caretaker of the property. I don't have a lot of confidence in that. I've spoken with one respondent actually last week. It wasn't you?
No, it's my husband.
And they live out of town, and I re-advised them of the condition of the property, and they told me about certain issues that they were having there. Property is on the trespass website program,
It is secure at this point.
Is it occupied?
It appears to be occupied. I've never seen anyone, so I can't say it is occupied or it isn't. However, someone, and actually your husband, did attest that they have been having problems with people breaking in and squatting on the property.
Yes.
Okay. Is it secured?
It is secure.
All right. You said at least 2 months, so that would suggest sometime after May 4, 2011?
Correct. I would probably say the June cutoff.
All right, and are we, is the respondent clear on what we're expecting to be done? All right, what say you to the inspector suggesting that maybe you could have it done by May, but more likely than not that it'd be more prudent to go to June?
Yes, sir, thank you.
You in agreement with that?
Yes.
All right, then I will work.
I just want to know, we will pull all the permits. Excuse me, Your Honor. All the permits that's required by the contractor to get this stuff taken care of.
Thank you. All right, I'll go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by June 8, 2011 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Very good. Good
Thank
luck
you. Here. All right, can I have a card?
Sure. Case number 23, Paul L. Jones and Sadie P. Lee. All right. Not seeing a respondent. What say the city? Boat parked in yard, outside storage, feeling faint.
Non-compliance, next cutoff. I did go by there this morning. There has been some improvement. I have had contact with the tenant, and he says that the last outstanding issue is to take care of the peeling paint. I think he should be able to bring the property into compliance by the April cutoff.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to commit compliance by April 6, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fines up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 24, Allie Jaron Jacoby. Mr. Jafruti's already been sworn. Mr. Jafruti, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
I'm kind of really confused as to this one. maybe John can shed more light. Basically, we pulled a permit, okay, to do exterior work. We did nothing more than ever just paint it, and the permit expired, okay, and we stopped doing the work.
I would say the city.
The permit was issued on this property on 5/11/10. It expired 11/7/10. After the expiration of the permit, the respondent complained on the property of work being done. While being on the property, it did appear that the work was occurring on the property and with an expired permit. Hence, working without permits. It is unoccupied.
Okay, so what does he need to do to come into compliance?
If it's not going to be occupied, we're going to come into compliance. He needs to go down, renew that permit, and finish the permitting process. The permit hasn't been final, it just expired, and they really just let it go at this point. Ultimately, he needs to go down to commission license paint and apply for a new permit, get an inspector out there to sign up on the property.
I'm really kind of confused because I did have a letter from the building inspector if you would like to continue the work, okay? And I'm not familiar with those pictures or where those pictures are coming from because the windows are all boarded up and so forth. To the best of my knowledge, maybe Jerry, you have something to say. I mean,
is this your property?
This is my property, yeah. I don't know where those pictures.
Mr. Kelger, ultimately that's the permit that has expired. As you can see, that's from the posting right there. There's still more work needed to be done on that exterior. So when he goes down to get that permit, and the building department sees that, they will have to come out there and inspect it, and they will be specific on what he needs to complete to finish that project under that permit.
Okay, the fact is rephrased. It appears we'll be having an uncompleted repair project, or and he was permitted to do what was a fascia.
Right, fascia in the exterior of the building.
And so he never completed it. The permit expired, and so now you have that uncompleted project and an expired permit.
Now, mind you, this is just addressing the exterior of the building. I know for a fact that the interior needs quite a bit of work, but we haven't even addressed them yet.
Okay, so it sounds as though you got a permit to do some exterior work. That permit expired, and then I'm hearing after the permit expired, there was work done?
Correct.
Okay, and so there's now we're in this twilight here where I guess he needs to go get the permit reissued.
Reissue, revise, whatever, re-something. Correct.
And then finish whatever he started.
And complete the work and complete the commitment. Yes, complete the project.
And how long should it take for him to do all that?
I would say next cutoff, and that's just for this particular project, yes.
Yeah, do you expect by next cutoff he ought to be able to get this permit reissued?
He should. I mean, he's already...
And once he gets the permit reissued, then this is closed?
Once he gets the permit reissued and has to be reissued, probably has to be inspected by the building department, and they sign off on it, then it's closed. So he's got to get a new permit, and the building department's got to come out and inspect the property and sign off on it. Then it'll be...
I would basically like to add that it says, please submit a new permit application if you'd like to continue the work, and that was from Mark Griswold. We stopped. I mean, there was nothing really done except for, I mean, I don't know where those pictures came from, but if you could see the colors between the two distinctions between the building, it was just basically to clean up the appearance of the building. Are the buildings not being occupied?
Before I get too technical here, what's your plan? Are you planning on finishing the work?
I didn't want to have another project on my plate right now with what I got going on. So, there was no work done after the permit expiration. And then,
when were you planning on doing whatever work?
Well, a lot of my plans changed as of recently, you know, with my current problems. So, I mean,
is this building occupied?
No, it's not occupied. It's secured.
But we got what? Am I looking at what looks like an almost finished paint job?
For the most part, I believe the paint job is complete. I mean, there was, you know, it was basically a sand texture. This is the current. I guess it's the current pictures. Yeah, the other one's just outdated.
What is left to finish on the exterior work that you started that I'm not looking at, that I can't see?
That entire porch needs to be fixed. Right there, the flooring under that door, all of that needs to be redone and fixed.
And the property's fenced off. The windows are secure.
Mr. Kelsey, we have, my understanding from the inspector, is one of two things. Either the need to permit and complete the project, or he'll be subject to a violation for his current condition and a requirement to bring that into compliance by resurfacing and doing the porch and all the other. I mean, he was working on the improvements that were necessary. And so if he's electing not to work on the improvements necessary, then he'll have a violation to do those necessary improvements.
Okay, what from the city's perspective has to be done to finish whatever's been started? That still falls within the initial permit.
The porch deck. Okay. The completion of the painting.
You've mentioned soffit, eaves, and all that's done?
There's quite a bit needs to be done. For the permit that he pulled, that's what's needed to complete that permitting process. The project isn't going to be done anytime soon. There's a multitude of violations on the property that have to be addressed. But the building department will address that when they go out there for the permitting process.
Okay, do you agree that there's more work to be done than just what I'm looking at here?
I mean, not an excessive amount. I mean, I agree.
Yeah,
there's
you. The word more. I don't expect you.
Oh, I would. Yeah. I mean. Yeah. I mean, but these are, you know. Yeah, I would agree. There's more work.
Okay. And are we in agreement the building's not going to be occupied until such time as it's in compliance?
Correct.
Fully compliant.
Yes.
All right. So what we got here is you get a permit to start working on the exterior. Permit
right.
expires.
Mm-hmm.
You start working on the exterior.
Mm-hmm.
They stop you because your permit's expired. They stop mm-hmm. you when you're almost done with the exterior the work that you're planning on doing, but not quite. And now your circumstances are such that you're telling me I got to spend my time elsewhere now because you've already told me to go fix other things.
Kind of. I mean, I had stopped before the permit expired. I mean, I really didn't do much except, you know, some repairs to the exterior.
The city's already telling me that this is just the exterior.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get inside, there's more to be done.
Yes, sir.
You're acknowledging there's more to be done. We don't have to have an agreement on how much more. We just agree there's more to be done.
Well, I would imagine as far as, yeah.
And now you're telling me or you're suggesting to me you don't have the ability to do this
anymore. I'm not saying I do not have the ability to do this. I mean, it's becoming, you know, burdensome with all I got going on. I mean, I'd like, you know, maybe, you know, to pick back up on this.
Okay, I understand.
I mean,
and you're telling me over here that it's not enough to cure this particular notice of violation for him to just get the permit reissued.
No, it's not enough.
Because what we're really doing here is...
Ultimately, we need this project to put...
I understand. I understand that. My problem is that procedurally, we've got a notice of violation that addresses a heck of a lot less than what both parties to this case are talking about. And I'm uncomfortable that this allows me the kind of latitude both of you are looking for to marshal a project through to completion that is apparently a lot broader than what I'm looking at here.
Ultimately, in order to settle this particular case, he can come into compliance by acquiring the permit, going through that permitting process. However, the property isn't in total compliance, but that's not before him. So, in order to clear this case, he needs to get a permit.
And once he gets that permit, it's going to have a shelf life of 6 months.
Yes.
And then it's going to expire again.
And there'll be another case open. If it's not in compliance.
But every time he can say,
I know there's always more work to be done. I understand that part.
Never in there.
Okay. Now, let's back up. Are you anticipating having this work done? The exterior work I'm talking about. I'm focusing on
the exterior work. Correct.
Right now.
Okay.
All right. I don't think it's going to come as any surprise to you when the city says there's more work to be done on the inside.
Not so
much. That's not before me.
Correct. Uh-huh.
Apparently, there's permit deals with the exterior.
Mm-hmm.
And you've kind of stopped and started. And so now we're in this kind of situation here where we're sort of betwixt and between. When do you anticipate doing that work?
I really haven't anticipated. I mean, there was really no start. This is something I kind of brought on myself, I guess, okay, because there was not a problem until I pulled the permit and we did nothing more than, you know, paint the building during the time the permit was open. I'd like to cooperate with John and get the ultimately it completed.
Okay, let's start focusing on cooperating with me. When do you think you're going to be able to get started on this project?
Let's say within 60 days.
Within 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
So you think that within 60 days you would be able to then get back to getting the permit and finishing out that permit work?
Yes, I have to get a new contractor.
I'm not talking about the interior right now because
Just the exterior.
Quite frankly, the whole exterior isn't in front of me either.
Correct.
There's just enough of it in front of me to cause me to kind of say, what the heck, let's just clean it all up.
Mm-hmm.
So you're expecting within 60 days.
It's going to take me, under the circumstances, without everything else I got going on, I got to find a new contractor. I got to find a new contractor to pull the permit. The contractor would not extend the permit for whatever reason he has. I think his insurance lapsed or something like that. I don't know.
So you're saying it'll be 60 days
It may be sooner before I have to find a new contractor.
You're going to say it could be up to 60 days before you would have a new contractor who could pull the permit.
Yeah, it might be sooner.
Stop. All right, now we're going to move into a new here. Once the permit is in hand, how much time do you think it would take to finish out the work contemplated by the permit we keep talking about?
30 days or less.
All right. Do you agree with that?
I can't necessarily agree with that. I mean,
how
if you were just
like, it would take?
I mean, I'm not the contractor, so I couldn't, you know, I couldn't estimate that.
Something that the city's going to win by the fall.
What do you think, Jerry?
30 days for the outside.
Okay. All right, now let's back up in case I get tired of playing solid here. And what is the relief the city's looking for? Permit within
the permit definitely issued before the next cutoff.
Now, and I don't mean to be snide, but is that even possible?
I don't see why not. He's already acquired it. He just happened to let it expire.
And I don't mean to be critical, but I hear rumors that sometimes permits are hard to get, or sometimes it can be a lengthy process.
I have heard that, but
and I don't want to jam a contentious case into doing something that may not happen anyway.
Well, he's already met the requirements for the permit.
So now he just needs a new contractor.
He needs a new contractor
to go get the permit.
Correct.
And then once that happens, you would expect within 30 days he'd have the job done.
That's correct.
Okay, is finishing what needs to be done to the exterior a big deal?
I don't think so.
I'm not seeing a lot, but I don't pretend to be a contractor.
Correct. The bigger problem is, like I said, I asked.
You're organizing all this stuff in your finances and.
Correct, and then finding a new contractor, then it becomes, you know, I'm spending money that I shouldn't be spending. So, I mean, that's really not the problem. The major problem has been here is that the old contractor would not extend the license for whatever his insurance purposes or whatever his excuse was. Finding a contractor that's competent to get the job done. You know,
so if I give you 60 days, you're going to have a new contractor?
I can get a new contractor.
If I give you another 30 days on top of that, the job will be done.
Yeah, it may even be done sooner than that.
Okay. All right, I'm going to order the respondent to obtain or re-obtain the permit required to complete the work that he has started by May 4, 2011. And I'm going to require that the work covered by that permit be completed and in compliance by June 8, 2011, and that until that permit is closed out and that work completed, the property will not be rented, utilized, or occupied or otherwise utilized.
Mm-hmm.
Failing any of those three events, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day pending compliance. What did you want to say?
I'm not showing where you found it in non-compliance. I was going to say that it's not market.
Okay, if I did not already, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Okay. All right, so here's what I'm trying to fashion here. I want to finish what we started. Giving you 90 days to do it, giving you 30 days more than has been suggested you need to get the permit, just to in consideration of the fact that you've got other things going on as well. But the key here is it's not going to be rented, occupied, or utilized mm-hmm. until the property's in control.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I can only assume that's all the incentive you need to get the work done and get somebody in there once it's in compliance. And of course, I'm not commenting whatsoever on the interior or anything else that's been alluded to here. I'm only focusing on the scope of the permit we've been talking about.
Correct.
All right. Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
Glad you do. Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, good luck to you.
All right, thank you.
All right, Carl Woods.
Here Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Carl Woods.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to provide is the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Woods, it's been alleged that the property of 535 Brentwood Drive has outside storage and junk vehicles. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yeah.
All right, then I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Mr. Inspector, how long should it take for Mr. Woods to come into compliance?
Should be in compliance by the next cutoff. There is a current picture in there. Most of the issues have been corrected. There's still a few things that he needs to get squared away. So the next cutoff.
What is it?
The inspector is suggesting that by April 6th, you ought to be able to have the rest of this work done.
And most of it is done.
Pardon?
Most of it is already done.
Music to my ears, and that means it'll be a piece of cake to have the rest of it done by April 6th.
Yeah.
Don't ever look to give special magistrate the mouth.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Would I have to show back up for April 6th?
Not if it's in compliance.
Okay. That's all I need to know.
All right. Then I'll go ahead and order the respondent to commit to compliance by April 6th or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. You need to contact this gentleman when it's all done. He comes out there. He sees that it's done. He puts an affidavit of compliance in here. That's it.
Okay.
You don't come back.
Now, the vehicle, it's licensed and insured. Why is it that I got to move it? If I choose not to drive that vehicle because it's costing me money, why should I have to move it? It's licensed and insured. It's got a current tag on it. The boat has a new a decal on it with a license plate. So what about that is
okay.
It's not in compliance.
All the vehicles on the property need to be parked on an improved surface or a perceived driveway. Improved surface meaning concrete or asphalt. In front of that two-car garage, you want to line your cars up in a line facing the street, that's fine. That's your perceived driveway.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the rest of the stuff that I've constantly been telling you about.
Okay.
That's the issue.
All right. When you came by this morning, the fence was moved.
Mm-hmm.
All the other stuff is picked up.
Well, I made progress this morning. We just have a few things to hit on the north side of the detached garage. And you'll be good to go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. No problem.
Okay. No problem.
And when you come by, then.
Another one of my cars.
Yeah. It's been fun, John.
Good luck to you. Case number 26, Anna Pacheco, Sarah N. Pacheco, and Rafael Pacheco. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
This property's still in non-compliance, and they should be able to come to compliance by the next cutoff.
Okay.
Let me get some new ones on that one. $873. There we go. They have outside storage pretty much surrounding the exterior of the house, and there's a junk vehicle parked in the back with more outside storage leaned up against it. Went by this morning and those items have been removed off of the vehicle. However, the vehicle's still there, and now the Chevy's parked out right in the front of the front yard. So, non-compliance, next cutoff.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by April 6, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 27, James E. Jelks and Alice May Jelks.
Good malice jokes.
Do solemnly swear to the testimony about providing the truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Right.
Ms. Jokes, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. Inspector, how long would it should it take the respondent to come into compliance?
I would say the next cutoff went by this morning. Most of the violations have issued have been corrected. I've spoken with Ms. Jokes on the phone. As soon as I spoke with her, things started happening. So we had good progress. Next cutoff, we should be good to go.
Ms. Jokes, our inspector has indicated you ought to be able to take care of this by April 6, 2011. What do you say?
6,011.
Next month.
Next
would you say 6?
April 6, 2011.
Next month.
Could I have like another month on painting the house? Like I have mold in my house still, and I'm trying to work on that.
Okay. What say the city?
No problem with that.
All right. Our inspector says that sounds reasonable to him. So with that, I will order the respondent to come into compliance by May 4, 2011. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Okay. One more problem I'll ask you. Like parking in my front yard, my husband's on hospice and he can't hardly walk. And I get down my bike and I can't hardly walk either. So, see where the car parked at?
Wow, that ain't allowed. Is that a driveway that goes right up to your door?
Yeah.
Become that.
I mean, does somebody pave the driveway all the way up there, or is it on grass?
There used to be grass there, and it probably needs to be there. Would be her solution to that issue.
Because he's on hospice, and I don't know how long he's going to be here, and he really can't hardly walk. So.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing that goes wild that way.
That's correct. Anyone here for the response? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city? We're at Edmondson O. Asgill.
That
410. Compliant 28, but I would like to ask for a will find on this property.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent was in non-compliance. I further find that the respondent has now come into compliance, but that order for every future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Case number 30, Caroline Daytona Properties, LLC.
Mm-hmm.
Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
The respondent was here. Ultimately, he's in non-compliance, next cutoff, and he has just informed me that he's going to go ahead and remove the entire fencing, which will bring it into compliance. So, non-compliance, next cutoff.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be non-compliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by April 6, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Miscellaneous business, David Walker. Staff request order vacating fine / lien. Why would I want to do something like that?
I ask myself that sometimes, too. There was an issue with the permit. Come to find out, the permits and licensing had renewed the permit. It was just showing in a different area. The valid permit was just showing in a different area. So that fine or whatever the amount is at this point is an error.
Okay. Per the testimony of our inspector and the request of the city, I will go ahead and order that the fine / lien previously ordered in this matter be vacated. All right. Do we have any other That's it. Do we have any other miscellaneous business to be brought up?
Bike week shenanigans.
If not.